welcome to episode number 4 of the Technician Academy podcast. This episode is brought to you by Extend Performance and hosted by ASE Master Technician Richard Young. In this episode, Richard sits down with Rachel and Randy Meyer of Randy Meyer Racing to discuss their 2016 NHRA season, how the sport of drag racing is evolving, what's next for their team in 2017, and the opportunities available for technicians within their sport. We hope that you enjoy this episode of the Technician Academy podcast brought to you by Extend Performance.
Welcome to today's Technician Academy podcast. We're fortunate enough to have Randy Meyer and Rachel Meyer in the studio today from Randy Meyer Racing. Welcome, Rachel.
Thanks.
Welcome, Randy.
Thanks for having us here today.
Yeah, we're excited to have you here. Here on Technician Academy, one of the things we really are enjoying is our relationship with Randy Meyer Racing. You guys, we met you way back. One of the things we want to focus on is how Randy Meyer Racing is evolving. Randy, if you want to give us a little bit of background in your racing and where you started in professional racing.
I started Axle Racing in 1979 and raced on a local level in the Midwest based out of Kansas City. And then in 1983, I decided to take the big plunge to the top alcohol dragster class. And at that point, it was a huge undertaking and a huge risk for me personally. But the hard work paid off early in my career as we won the world championship in the very first year and set the world record and held it for a long time as well. So that was very rewarding. And we ran alcohol dragster until 1988. At that point, I decided to take the big plunge in the top fuel racing. Got off to a pretty decent start in top fuel, and unfortunately, latter part of the year, had a pretty major severe racing accident and destroyed all my equipment. So at that point, we had to kind of start over again and build another new car for the following year and ran top fuel on a part-time basis because I was in the process of starting my new business as well at the same time. So we didn't race full-time like we needed to be 100% successful, and like you have to do in any business venture that you're into. You got to all be all in, but your rewards are only as good as your benefits you put in it. And then in about 1996, took a little break from racing when I had our second daughter born. Rachel came on and took a break to get the kids going and get them in school. And then at that point, made the decision to get back into racing at running what's called a fuel dragster, which is injected nitro dragster class, and have run that from then till today. And 2016 was a very exciting time for Randy Meyer Racing as Megan, our oldest daughter, got behind the wheel, made her debut in a fuel racing for Randy Meyer Racing, and it was a very successful year for her to do that. And along the way, we made a lot of new friends and stuff. And then this next year, 2017, Rachel will be making some special appearances as she gets her feet wet running a fuel dragster across the country. So it's been a very exciting time here lately, and we're expanding into a new shop as well to go with it. So we've got a lot of things going on, and we've got a very bright future for the future of Randy Meyer Racing as far as going forward with the daughter being very heavily involved with the sport.
Right. Rachel's here today. How long have you been into the racing, Rachel?
Well, I started when I was 8 years old, and I'm 21 now, so for a while.
For a while, yes, absolutely. So, yeah. But you didn't start right at top alcohol, did you?
No, I started in junior dragsters, which back then the legal age to start was 8 years old, so I started as soon as I could and did that until I was about 18, and I moved up into a super comp, and then I'm currently still racing that, and then last year I did race 2 races in my dad's top alcohol dragster.
So you got to pilot your dad's top alcohol down the track. What was the feeling of that, going from doing this transition through these races and in different cars? What was the feeling of that first race, top alcohol?
It was really overwhelming and exciting. Like, I just wanted to keep going and keep making passes in the car. it was a little difficult to get used to his car setup compared to my super comp. They're completely different, but it was really
it was fun.
Yeah.
So how many passes did you have to get to have before the actual qualifying race?
I think I made 6 passes. I legally only had to make 3, 1 moderate pass and 2 full passes to get my license, but I made a few extra so I could get comfortable in the car
before
my first race.
If you making that transition from junior up through comp and then to top alcohol, is that just, well, today I'm 18 and I decide I don't want to jump into class, or is there a test you have to take to get to that?
No, you can basically jump into whatever class you want to. You just have to go through the licensing procedures, but it makes it easier if you slowly step up from class to class so you get used to the speed and being able to handle the car and control it and know what you're doing.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate Megan wasn't able to make it to the studio today, Randy. It was her transition through racing basically the same as what Rachel described?
Yes, yeah, they both pretty much started out in junior dragster, and then Megan ran actually the junior and super comp for probably almost 2 years. Once you turn 18, you're not allowed to, you've exceeded the age limit of the junior dragster, so you're done at age 18. So at 16, she was working on the super comp already, so from 16 to 18, she ran both cars at local level for a while, and then when the time allowed it for her to start working on getting some experience and seat time in the top alcohol dragster, we let her make some runs a couple different times throughout her opportunities away from school, because she was, both girls have been to college, so you know, you got to take care of school and business first. And so when the time was right, she would jump in the car and make a couple of runs, and be, you know, that way when it come time to go racing, she was, even though it was the first race, she had made probably 12 passes down the racetrack already, and did very, very well from the get-go. And you know, it's like Rachel said, these cars can be very intimidating and very overwhelming, and you have to have respect for the cars to build it, because they are very powerful and things happen very, very fast.
Right.
And everybody thinks it's easy, but until you get in there and you got the nerve enough to step on that loud pedal all the way down, it can be an overwhelming challenge.
Yeah, and Megan has been very successful. You know, like you mentioned briefly there, her success in this year. I believe she's in third or fourth in the standings.
She ended up fourth. She was second most of the year, and we slipped to fourth. Had a couple less unfortunate weekends toward the end of the season, so we got a little slump, but we'll get that all fixed over the winter, and we'll be ready for next year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that you mentioned, your business. You started your business after you'd started racing. Briefly, what type of business do you run, Randy?
When I started my business, I was doing medium-duty truck repair. And over a period of time, we were working on more and more tow trucks. And I, for a long time, I did truck repair and I built tow trucks. And over the last 8-10 years, we've kind of transitioned everything to be heavily involved just strictly tow trucks. So we built tow trucks and wreckers and anything that a towing company would need, we're the equipment provider for them, and that's all we do now. We're out of the truck repair business.
Okay, so
just strictly truck equipment.
So you're doing rollbacks and special trailers and stuff such as that.
Anything all the smallest car made to the biggest truck on the road you think you can handle, we build trucks for that.
Okay. Now, where is your business located?
We're in Olathe, Kansas, which is a south suburb of Kansas City, and we live just south of there, a little town, Spring Hill, out in the country is where we live.
Okay. You know, one of the things in Technician Academy does a lot of focus with training of tomorrow's technicians, and one of the things that really about these young ladies that are racing, they've not only been in the racing and been successful at it, but they've also gained an education through at the college level. Briefly, what is your degree on, Rachel?
Currently, I'm attending Pittsburgh State University to get a mechanical engineering technology degree with an emphasis in design and a business administration minor.
So all that takes up a lot of time.
Yes.
When do you expect to graduate?
May of 2017.
Okay. So, you know, but you've been racing on the weekends through all this going to school.
Yes. There's actually a little racetrack about 10 miles south of my college. So I race there a lot during the school year.
Okay. So, yeah, so Dad brings the car up and you go racing. No?
No. Either I'll bring the trailer up myself or my boyfriend will bring it up for me.
Okay. Okay. So, does Dad come to that race? Not very often, huh?
No.
Okay. Well, that's good. I mean, that's good. That tells me that you're wholeheartedly into this. And I've seen some pictures where your hands are actually dirty from working on a car, turning the wrench. Do you enjoy that?
Yes, I enjoy that a lot.
What part of that do you enjoy? Do you enjoy taking a box full of stuff and making it run, or?
I really like whenever we're on a time crunch in between runs, we have to come back, get the car turned around really fast, and go back up there and make a run. So that's just like the adrenaline rush you get from doing that is pretty exciting. I also like knowing how the whole motor works together, how the clutch is involved, how it comes apart, how you put it back together. I just like all of it.
Absolutely. The mechanical part of it.
Yes.
The mechanical part of it, making it perform like you want it to. You know, like I said earlier, you know, technicians of tomorrow and we're going to community colleges and putting on training at community colleges through Technician Academy. In the racing industry, in the performance industry, is there a need for pit crew members, technicians in the pit crews? Is there a shortage of that? Is that something that these students could be looking at?
Yes, there's a great opportunity for these younger people in the world. And you know, I tell people all the time that, you know, when you're young and you're out of high school, you're out of college, it's a great luxury to be able to travel the United States and go to all the different parts of the country when you're 21 years old and to be able to do that, because most people don't ever get that opportunity to do that. They go down, they work at the local shop doing whatever, but, you know, there's people just, I think they've lost touch of the reality and the rewards that come with that. Not only do you learn about teamwork and you learn about working together as a team for a common goal, but like when I was 25 years old, I won a world championship and I traveled over 2/3 of the United States already seeing, you know, what most people won't see in their lifetime. And I did that by the time I was 25. And, you know, you learn about different parts of the country, different cultures and how people are in different areas and different suburbs. And you meet a lot of different people on the way. And you know, you just, these younger people, they just don't get that. And, you know, they're so involved with, they'd rather sit on the couch and play on their phone instead of get out in the real world and, you know, use their head, use their thinking. And it even amazed me today that people can't get from point A to point B without having their phone to tell them how to get there. They can't read a map. They don't know how to read road signs. And I keep telling them, I said, one of these days phone's going to be broke or it ain't going to happen and you're going to be stuck and don't even know which direction north is. But there is a huge opportunity out there, not just in motorsports, but just in mechanical ability, where you can use the current technology that the computers have, because there's a lot of computer technology on cars. And it's not like the old days where you got to get dirty 12 hours a day with your hands and stuff. You can, today's world, you use your hands, you use your mind, you use the computer. There's a little bit of everything going on. And it's a great opportunity today for people that want to get involved to do it, but you got to get off the couch and do it.
Yeah, I mean, and that's one of the things, and I say this all the time, is basically today's technicians are working with an $80,000 rolling computer. And used to, and correct me if I'm wrong, Randy, but when you come in to the pits after a run, after a pass, you had to basically by hand diagnose how the engine run by the spark plugs and exhaust and how that vehicle run. Today, you're plugging that car in. When you get in, you're downloading information to the laptop and looking at that data to determine how to improve that run. Is that?
Yeah, we have an onboard computer like all cars do, even the race cars and stuff. And a lot of people get misled with, they think the computer controls the car, and the computers on race cars in our type racing are only there to gather data, because things happen too fast for the human eye to keep track of. So we can look at the wheel speed, we can look at the temperatures and the fuel pressures at a certain point on the racetrack and make a decision on whether we want to change that one direction or another and not have to rely on that. But we only tune the car about half off of that. We still tune the car the old-fashioned way where we take all the spark plugs out and we take the engine bearings out and we look how hard the engine's working on the bearings and how much heat's generated in the combustion chamber on the spark plugs. And that tells us a lot how to be able to tune the car and what we want to do. And you know, just like our car, we've had times when the computer has failed and most people, once that happens, they're just lost. They can't go forward. I can still run my program without a computer. You know, it's just a bonus to have it there. It makes it simpler. And then when you go from race to race, or you see something on the computer that's slowly getting worse, like a good example is we were having a little bit of problems and the oil pressure was starting to go away a little bit each run. And you know, figured out that we had some, the crankshaft, even though the bearings were, or the crankshaft itself was starting to wear down the material on the crank. And you know, you can't really check that at the racetrack, but you know, so we knew that and we ended up changing motor and putting a new motor and everything came back where it was supposed to be and went on down the road and we took the motor home there. We have our own engine shop and we took it apart and made the repairs and put the motor back in.
And that's the information. I mean, you're exactly right. And in today's car, the actual motoring public, the computer does a little bit more than just record data. It helps in the operation of the car. But, you know, being able to have that data and understanding what it's telling us in cooperation with the old school knowledge of how a car is running and what the bearings show or what the spark plugs show. That combination is something that I think this industry is adapting to. It's not a quick adaption. Is that, Rachel, the stuff he talks about and then the bearing and the spark plugs and looking at that, is that the type of stuff that you enjoy looking at too?
I'm slowly learning to understand, like, if the bearings are rubbing, what that means, or like the way the spark plug looks, what that means, and reading the graph from the computer on the car and how to tune it so where the car will run faster. I am interested in that stuff, and he's slowly teaching me it, but it takes a while to learn everything.
Well, there is a lot to learn, yeah. And Randy, with all the time that you got involved in it, I'm sure you've seen that change drastically from back 30 plus years ago, as far as the way the cars operate and the way they're built.
Well, they operate and they're built pretty much the same. That has changed, and the motors we run are pretty much the same. Technology that we have and the parts we have and the quality of parts and the machining of the parts with all the CNC stuff and all the billet stuff versus the cast. You know, back when we started, we had old cast iron stuff that was junk and broke, and then we really thought we was hitting a home run when we finally got to having cast aluminum parts, and they were lighter, but they weren't any stronger. And then here about 10 years ago, when the technology changed and all the machining come available that we have today with the CNC and all the programming and a lot of stuff that these younger people go to school and learn about that they can apply. But we have components now that even though they're the same, they're 3 or 4 times stronger, so we can lean on our cars a lot harder now. We can actually make more power. We can keep the cylinders more round. They'll take more abuse, and so that's what's helped to make the performance better. And we actually, even though we're running faster than we did, we actually have better parts and they're actually holding up better. You know, years ago when we tried to run fast, we knew we were going to blow it up. Now we can try to run fast and it does one or two things, either runs fast or smokes tires. So, you know, so we have that. That's all. But, you know, the cars are very similar because we built our own chassis and did all the everything in-house forever. But a lot of it's still the same. We still run the same basic platform engine that we ran 20 years ago. And so, but it's just the componentry. And we've learned a few things with the computer, because with the computer, you can try something and you know, it can tell you within a hundredth of a second if you're making more power, less power, so you don't have to guess at it. So that's all helped.
Yeah. Now, Rachel and Megan's obviously not here, but being two young ladies in this industry, how's the industry accepted you? I mean, do you get questions? Is there a fan base following you?
There's a fan base following Megan, that's for sure. I don't promote myself as much as Megan does.
In this industry, as a young lady, what, you know, the older racers, the young men that you're racing against, or the older men, I mean, you're racing against, you know, men from your dad's age down to young men your age. How do they look at you when you pull up to the line? Do they believe that, hey, she's competition and look out, she may outrun us?
At first, when I first stepped up to Super Comp, they weren't scared of me. Like, they just were like, oh, this is just some young girl. It's her first year. But after I, like, started going a few rounds, started proving that, like, I can actually do this, they started accepting me more. But there is a wide range of people. It is anywhere from 16 to my dad's age that I'm racing. Whereas whenever I raced juniors, everyone was about the same age, so we got along good. We were like a family. But now there's so many of us that I don't know everyone, and I don't get as close with everyone. So.
Well, that's good. And you know, you can. Women have been in drag racing for quite some time, and Shirley Muldowney is one I think about. She stepped up and run quite a few races and had a successful career. What, in your opinion, do you see the woman's role in drag racing increasing?
I do. I see there's a lot more girls stepping up, especially in my dad's class right now. There's about 3 or 4 new girls this year. There's slowly becoming more in our class, so girls are slowly stepping up a lot more.
So was it in junior and comp, was it roughly a 40-60 mix? Or
in juniors, it was probably about 40-60, but then some of the girls preferred not to step up. So then it kind of went to like a 20-80.
Okay.
Super comp.
Okay. So, yeah, we lost roughly 20% moving up. And then when they moved on, would you say that percentage kept or still holds true in top alcohol?
Top alcohol, I think it's getting closer to maybe a 40-60 okay. range for girls.
Good.
Guys.
Good. So, you know, and you're both you and Megan are going to be racing in 2017. Is there any competition between you girls?
Yeah, there's a lot of competition between us. We get pretty competitive with each other, but at the end of the day, we are happy for each other and Good. Proud of each other.
So I believe Megan holds a record, quickest female.
Yeah, quickest female sportsman driver, I believe. Okay. So, yeah.
And what speed is she running at?
She ran a 5:17 at 280.
What is your quickest?
Actually, at my very first race, I qualified number one with a 5:29, and I went 272 miles an hour.
Well, that's pretty quick. I mean, that was really quite a step up from comp class. When you got to the end of the track, and we talked earlier, when you got to the end of the track, what was your thoughts? I mean, did you want to turn around and do it again?
Yes, I definitely wanted to, especially after my crew was coming down, honking the horn, so happy for me. So, yeah, it was a really exciting moment.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, that competition is a good thing between you and your sister. And then, you know, like you said, being happy for the other one when it's all over, no matter where you finish in the series. So now you're I mean, not necessarily you're unique, but you like to, and we talked about this earlier, you like to get your hands dirty and turn the wrench. What is, I mean, did you just fall into that? Or, I mean, did you see dad doing this stuff and think, hey, I want to do that?
Well, my mom does help out on the car, too. So that kind of opened my eyes to, like, hey, girls can do this, too. And so one day, I think I just went out to the shop and told my dad, hey, I want to learn this stuff. Will you teach me? And then I've just kind of been his helper until I moved to college. Then he kind of didn't have it.
He lost that helper a little bit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you're in the pits as a woman turning wrenches, is there other? You said there's more ladies that are running in this division. Are they turning the wrench, or are they just driving the car?
There's a few of them that I'm pretty sure know how to work on the cars, but not very many of them are interested in that side of it. they're more interested in like actually driving the car and making a name for themselves,
right,
rather than working on the cars.
Okay. So, I mean, obviously Dad didn't let you just, the next race after you told him you wanted to learn this stuff, he didn't just turn you loose with a torque wrench and say, here, go get it.
No, I would help him out in the shops and we would build motors. Because I think I went out there whenever it was off season, so I helped him put back together all the motors we had. He showed me how to put the clutch back together, and that's actually what I did for about a year or so. I was the clutch girl on his team. And then now I'm just the fill-in person. If he doesn't have, if he needs an extra hand at a race and I'm free, I'll come in because I can do any job on the car. So,
is there a particular part of the, when the car comes back into the pits after a pass, is there a particular part of that you would rather work on? Clutch, suspension?
I do like working on the clutch. I like being the clutch girl. It's kind of one of those jobs where it's just you. Like, it's just a one-person job on our team. So I like being able to do it all by myself rather than needing help from someone or having someone take over my job. Because sometimes that does happen. Whenever a girl's working on the car, the guys don't think she can handle it. So they'll come over and try and do it for you whenever you actually can handle it.
Right. Well, and growing up in this performance side, you know, there may be some of your crew members that you've got more experience than they do in the clutch area. Now, do you use computer technology that's downloaded? Do you use any of that in setting the clutch up?
I don't. My dad might look at it and say, okay, we need to take weight off the clutch. We need to turn the springs in.
Okay. So he looks at that and gives you kind of a direction to go, and then and you know what to do then. Take weight or add weight and change the spring tension and stuff. So.
Yeah.
So again, that's one of those things that not just everybody can walk in and do. You know, we've talked about a lot of these things and we briefly mentioned Megan. What is Megan's success for 2016? Where did she ended up in fourth? Was she the top or the quickest female in 2016? Is that correct?
Yeah, she's the quickest female in our class and the quickest female racing quarter mile currently. And she's one of the few people in the world that's ever ran over 280 mile an hour. There's been one other woman, I think, done it. One or two other women done it, but there's been very few people even run that fast in a quarter mile. You know, she started off really, really good. And, you know, the very first race, she went to the finals. And the second race, she was in the finals. And the third race, she won. And so the first five or six races, she was in the finals. And at one point was actually leading. She was number one in the world for a while in points. Unfortunately, we ran the guy that ended up winning the championship. We ran him quite a few times in the finals, and he would beat us just a little bit, and that's why he ended up being the right world champion this year. But, you know, she had a very, very remarkable year for someone new and, you know, basically had no experience in that class to speak of, and it was amazing that how many people, you know, they just thought, well, you know, here's a girl that's going to stumble for a year, so we're good to go. But then after about the first race or two, then they're like, oh, now we got a problem on our hands. We got somebody that's serious. And you know, she did an excellent job all the way around, from driving the car to starting the stepping on the gas, cutting good lights. And when the car got in trouble, she did a great job of handling it. And that just comes from taking your time and getting seat time and getting experience and not just jumping in and trying to think it's easy and going wide open. So she paid her dues and she's earned a lot of respect from all the other racers out there now. So it should be, she should be in a good position for next year's stuff to even hopefully do better yet.
Now, where did she, you said she won, was it her third race?
Yeah, she won the big four wide nationals in Charlotte, North Carolina.
So she won it four wide. Was there excitement in the team after that win?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's an understatement. I mean, we felt that we were just a win waiting to happen after the first couple races where we've been to finals. And, you know, she'd been number one qualifier in several races. And so she's been one of the quickest cars to beat most of the year and stuff. So yeah, it was a very, very satisfying, rewarding time for not just me, but my whole family and the whole team. Everybody worked so hard over the winter to get to that point.
Yeah.
You know, it came pretty quick and came pretty sudden and pretty early and pretty fast. So that was all great.
And you said, you know, this isn't just something that happens starting in February. I mean, this, to be good and at this level, This is a year-round event, is that?
Yes, and it was years in the making to get to this point. Just like with Rachel, you know, this has been planned for a long time, and this is all, you know, this isn't something we just woke up yesterday and we're going to do tomorrow and stuff. But it's been a long, long time in the works, and you know, I did a lot of homework, a lot of planning, a lot of structuring to get to where we are. And like I said, we just took it a little at a time, and you know, we're looking out. Just like with hooking up with Technology Academy and stuff, that you know, this, we're looking long term down the road. This isn't just something for tomorrow and stuff. So
yeah, and we're excited. That is one thing here at Technician Academy that we're excited about is partnering with Randy Meyer Racing. And you know, one thing I want to ask Rachel, what kind of goals do you have for winning races or being in the industry?
I just want to win a lot of races and hopefully one day win the world championship or win it a few times.
Megan's not here. Here's your chance. But what's her goals, do you think? What's she look at?
I don't know. I think she's met most of her goals just this year already.
Now, she's, correct me if I'm wrong, she's up for possibly the Rookie of the Year.
Rookie of the Year and Driver of the Year.
Okay. Is there any other awards that Randy Meyer Racing is in the running for this year?
Yes, Randy Meyer himself is in the running for Tuner of the Year.
Yeah, so Tuner of the Year. Now, the car that Megan won in, at 4 Wide, is that a car that you've had around for a while, Randy, or was that a new build for 2016?
It was a brand new car in 2015 that we put together and made a few runs on to get ready, but virtually it was a brand new car for the most part for 2016, yeah. And we've run the car all year, and now we're totally rebuilding the car, and hopefully it's going to even be better for next year now that we've got a year under our belt, and we're making some changes to the chassis. I think that's going to be better long term.
Okay. So there are some changes in the downtime now through the winter here, getting ready for the spring run.
Yeah, we actually have a total of 3 cars. We have a new car that we're building for Rachel that was specially designed, and we built for her that we got to finish up, and we have Megan's car that we're totally rebuilding, and then we have my primary car that's getting a major overhaul as well, and then we have some we have 5 motors that we're running, and we have 4 of them to fix that need some of them we're just going to replace. Some of the components are just pretty much wore out from running so hard, and we blew a couple of them up and broke some crankshafts, so we got to get all that carnage repaired and replaced. And it's with all the work that we have this winter, we're going to be pushing it. I mean, we'll work every day and weekends, but it takes that long to get ready for the season with everything that we have. Plus, we're finishing up our new shop, and we also have a new trailer that we're also trying to finish up to build. It's a little bit bigger so we can haul more components with the cars and stuff. So we got a lot going on at the Randy Meyer Racing team.
So one of the things that you just mentioned, you for 20 coming 2016 or into 2016, first of 2017, is you got to build a new shop. Then this is strictly for your race side of the Randy Meyer.
Yes, it's 100% for the race shop. That's all it's for the house. We want to be able to get back to get everything in the house under one roof. We've run out of space here a couple years ago with the addition of the girls racing, and so we have their super comps. We still have their juniors, and we're building a little small museum and a showroom so we can showcase the history of Randy Meyer Racing from the beginning, as well as a place to be able to work out of, and just we want to have everything under one roof, so we've got that done, and we're just putting the finishing touches on it so we can be a little bit more professional and a little more organized.
Now, you say everything under one roof. You do your machine work there and all that from start to finish. You're building the frames, you're building the engines, doing the CNC work on the engines and all that in this facility?
We don't do the CNC work. We have a guy in California that actually has the equipment and machine. I don't have the whereabouts to do all that. So we have a guy that builds our blocks star specs in our heads and some other components. We have special things that are priority to us that we can't build in-house that we have built for us, and then the rest of the stuff we build in-house so that we can help control what we have. And that we want to make a change, we just go in and make a change. We don't have to wait for somebody else or a third party. So, and I've always been a guy that's done most everything myself, and sometimes that's good, sometimes it's bad, but you know, that's just the way I prefer to do it. And it's that's the only way I've been able to afford to do it, because I didn't have a lot of money in early days, so we just went out and made things.
Right. Now, you said you had five engines right now. Is that five engines for each car or five engines for both cars or all three cars?
Five engines total.
Okay.
Yeah, we have each car will have its motor, and then we carry two spare motors in the trailer.
Okay.
So then that way, if we hurt one, we immediately get back home and repair that motor, or we have components at the shop. We can build more motors if we need to.
Okay.
That's all we have ready to go, or we'll have ready to go by February.
Now, the transporter, is it hauling both cars? Is it going to have both cars in it?
Yes, we haul two cars, and everything is under one roof in the transporter as well. So then we have a big tow drone that we use to pull it. So, yes, yeah. it's a very specialized trailer to be able to haul the two cars, all the sport equipment that we carry.
Right, and there's a lot. It takes a lot to go to the race and be able to be at this level of performance and success.
It takes a lot of time, a lot of money, and a major commitment from everybody.
Yeah, it's not something that Megan or Rachel just showed up one day and decided to drive. I mean, there's a lot, and you alluded to it earlier, there's a lot that builds up to that. So it isn't something that just happens overnight. You know, one of the things, and like you said, it takes a lot of time and a lot of money. You know, what, Rachel, what do you have in mind for 2017? Do you want to beat your sister's record at quickest female?
That would be pretty awesome if I could, but it just depends on how many races I'm able to do this upcoming season.
What happens in that day when you're both on the line against each other?
Well, that day hasn't happened in a long time, so it'll probably be pretty fun. Last time it happened, I got too anxious and red lit, so I let her win, but I won't do that this time.
So you let her win. That sounds like you just conceded. I don't think you conceded. I see some competition. Maybe truthfully, yeah, you were too anxious and you wanted to beat her harder than normal. So, but yeah, so that's some exciting stuff. I mean, possibly, I would love to be there and see that you two on the line together, facing down each other.
Yeah, it would be pretty awesome.
That's exciting. So, you know, and we just real quick, I mean, as far as technicians, used to, and correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, everybody wanted to be a technician in a race shop and in a performance at the races. But that doesn't happen much anymore, does it? Getting help to show up and be part of the crew.
No, most people, you know, we have people quite a few times come up at the racetrack in the pits and say, you know, how can I get involved in drag racing, or how can I learn how to be involved in drag racing or any form of racing as far as that goes? And it goes back to, okay, you have to have the desire and want to be able to use tools and equipment and the technology out there that they use for computers and stuff. And you have to, that's where it has to start. And it usually starts at the high school level. That's where I kind of learned some of the things that I did between working on the farm and working on broken down equipment. Or they had when I was in high school in Southern Indiana, we had an automotive class that we took, you know, throughout my high school years and stuff. And that's where we learned a lot of stuff. And just like you do with welding and you can't with anything else. But unfortunately, as I see over the years, there's less and less schools that offer them classes anymore. And I don't really understand why that's faded away, but we need to get that back. And that needs, I think there'd be more people would be interested in it. And I think society in general would be better, because, you know, there's a good get well, good feeling about when you can go out and your car doesn't start and you can go out there and fix it yourself. And, you know, and Rachel can understand this too, that it makes you feel good. You know, you don't have to just pick the phone up and call AAA or call your dad or, you know, have somebody come out and jumpstart you or do whatever. You're a little more self-sufficient and, you know, you have pride in that, and that's gone away.
Yeah, that is a shame. I mean, you know, the continuing loss of the skilled workers and providing that type of education, especially in high school. I mean, that's years whenever you, as a young student, you're making that decision of what really interests you and where you want to go in life. And there is a big demand for not just technicians, but the trades, plumbers, carpenters, electricians. And I attribute a lot of that to the loss of those high school programs, just reducing that and losing that. Being able to come out of high school and go into college, possibly a two-year program, and learn a lot of the things needed for a skill set. We've lost that, absolutely, absolutely.
Well, I think some of it is lost at the house level at home before they ever get that level. That, you know, there's too many people, or probably half the parents have to work two jobs, or they're unfortunate, they're, where they're separated or divorced, and there's the guidance isn't there, and you know, the parents, you know, how many people, their dad goes out in the garage when they're 10 years old and help dad change oil stuff, you know, they just all go Jiffy Lube now, that dad does, and you know, people don't get their people involved in what they do, you know. I mean, that's one thing I've always done is, you know, whatever I do, I try to involve my family in it, you know, whether interest or not, there's something that they can take away from that somewhere down the road in their future and be able to use that. And then these people nowadays, they just spend way too much time on their cell phones or the computer and stuff, and that's not the answer to everything.
I'm sure that you know, Rachel, you being off at school, and if your car broke down, you take it someplace to get it worked on, even though you're at school, and you probably know what was going on with it or have an idea. As a service manager, I would be like, well, this girl's asking a lot of questions, and so have you ever experienced that type of situation? Not really.
Her car broke down several times, and she went out and fixed it herself, or asked a couple questions with some of the guys, and it makes very proud as a parent that they're able to do that stuff. You know, like a while back, her water pump went out, and you know, she fixed that and did that on her own stuff. You know, tire goes flat, she knows how to change the tire, fix the tire, or whatever. So there's some things, you know, she needs jump start or whatever. It probably helps other people more than what she realizes to help get their car running.
But, yeah. Well, and as a parent, that's great to see that, you know, child can be take care of themselves in that situation. So wrapping up, I mean, Randy Meyer Racing has some great things going to happen in 2017, looking to improve upon that number four position, maybe move up to the ladder to one or two. I always want to focus for number one. So do you feel that Megan is excited and ready for 2017?
Oh yeah, she's chopping at the bit. She can't wait. You know, she's had a taste of success, and we've had a lot of races that we lost by inches. Not a lot, but a few we lost by inches or a couple feet, and that, you know, got away from us. That maybe we were a little bit too conservative, and the other people were more aggressive because they were the underdogs. And you know, our goal was just to try to go some more rounds and try to win a few more races and get some more exposure. And the points will be the points where at the end of the year, you know, that's not our goal, to set out to win a championship. If you win enough races, it will come automatically. But it's easy to set your goal too high and you stumble and you start making mistakes and stuff. So that's why I tell her, don't ever worry about counting the points, because you there's races going on in other parts of the country you can't control, and we can't control what the other guy does. But if we're just a little bit better than the other car, that's all we need to be. And that's our goal, is to try to have a little bit better program. You know, we're making some changes to hopefully make everything in the right direction. That's our goal anyhow, and that's, we're working really, really hard for that. And you know, last year we did good, but you know, I got to take care of business and my family too, and the racing slipped a little bit because the priorities weren't 100% on the racing deal. But hopefully this year we can, you know, do a little bit better than we did last year. The main thing is we don't want to go backwards.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, like I said, Randy Meyer Racing with Rachel and Megan, some exciting things are going to happen. The new shop, change in the trader, you know, really some great things are in store for 2017. Excited to see what happens. Always open to sponsorship opportunities. That's one of the things that going fast and putting the name on the side of the car is great. And I'm sure you're always open to that. Anyone that wants to be a part of that. So in closing, final thoughts, where do you see this industry going, Rachel? Where for the women in the industry?
I feel like since more women are starting to come into it, that pretty soon women will probably even out the playing field. There will be the same amount of women as there are men, or will rise above and win championships. Like Erica Enders, she was doing pretty good in pro stock, and Courtney Force and Brittany Force and Ashley Force, they all got their name out there pretty big, and my sister's got her name out there pretty big, so there are a lot of girls stepping up to the plate, proving that they can run with the boys.
Yeah, well, that's exciting, and the boys need to step back and take notice. You know, it's just not, and I think one of you mentioned it earlier about, well, she's just a young girl on the track, and she's just going to stumble for the first little bit, but I think Megan proved that wrong within the first year. So, increase in women in the industry, that's great. Need training. Technicians need to understand that there's not just working at the local repair shop. There's a lot of more industry out there in the performance side, and you know, you're going to end up with an engineering degree on top of your racing. So yeah, that's exciting. You've not had much free time, have you?
No, not very much.
So Randy, what's some of your goals for 2017? Where do you see it going?
Well, like I said, our goal as a team is we want to improve and pick up the little gaps that we lost out on last year. If we can improve that and close that gap, the rest will come. The thing that's exciting about NHRA drag racing today is that they had about 5 or 6 events this last year that actually had a sellout crowd, which is, as Charlotte, where Megan won, was one of them, and she's partially responsible for that because she has dragged a lot of new people and a lot of young females to the racetrack, and she has such a big following now, and I think it's kind of like it was 20 years ago, where the girls were intrigued by the cars and the girls made their boyfriends take them out to the racetrack, and so in turn the audience is really good, and the TV is the ratings are really up on drag racing, and it's kind of interesting how NASCAR has slipped and drag racing has kind of picked up a lot of that void and stuff. So it's a shifting there, but you also, it's a shifting because I think partial is that if you look at how many females, not just in the pros, but even in the sportsman levels and our classes and on down, the amount of females that are there, and they're doing it very successful and they're doing it very professional in the manner that they handle themselves. So you look at that, it's attracting new people, and you know, Rachel's going to be part of that group of people coming in there and stuff. And so I think it's a very exciting and great time to be involved with NHRA drag race right now.
Yeah, and for me personally, I'd a whole lot rather go watch a drag race than I would a NASCAR. I'd like to go straight and fast. So yeah, that's exciting times, and it's going to be exciting. And hopefully we can touch base later in the year and see how things are going and how the racing's going. Look forward to that. So I want to thank you both for being here. Shame, I wish Megan could have been here with us, but we'll catch her on the next one.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Technician Academy podcast brought to you by Extend Performance. Don't forget to visit us online at technician.academy. We are also on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Technician.academy, built to educate.